The service was put together by people in the Canadian Unitarian Council to consider how it is that we share our faith. Wendy McNiven from Kelowna did much of this work. She has a start with a preamble to the Earth Charter. We stand at a critical moment in Earth's history, a time when humanity must choose its future. As the world becomes increasingly interdependent and fragile, the future at once holds great peril and great promise. To move forward, we must recognize that in the midst of a magnificent diversity of cultures and life forms, we are one human family and one Earth community with common destiny. We must join together to bring forth a sustainable global society founded on respect for nature, universal human rights, economic justice, and a culture of peace. Towards this end, it is imperative that we, the peoples of Earth, declare our responsibility to one another, to the greater community of life, and to future generations. And a more traditional source, Hildegard von Bingen, says, "Everything that is in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth is penetrated with connectedness, is penetrated with relatedness." When she was a child, the dirt driveway of her family's property was alive with light brown toads. They would hop frantically out of the way as she walked past. Large ones, small ones, teeny tiny ones. She would pick up the little ones and feel the tickle of their feet on the palm of her hand. That was in the days when people felt safe to drink water straight out of the stream as they hiked through the woods. Now, only a few decades later, they are hardly any toads at all. She misses those toads. And she feels some remorse, knowing that the reason they are not there probably has something to do with human activity. But she doesn't have the power to bring them back. The earth and her creatures are not the same as they once were. In recent years, apple orchards have been turned into housing developments. Trees are dying because the pine bark beetle is living through warmer winters. There are raging freak storms on BC's coast and in southern Ontario. Glaciers in the Arctic are melting and polar bears are losing their homes. Our lakes and rivers are being contaminated with PCBs and drug residues and industrial and mining waste. Women who live near mercury-polluted bodies of water give birth to deformed babies or have miscarriages. Spring is coming earlier, and the early birds are unable to find their not-so-early insects to eat. Forests, our global air conditioners, are being cut down. Topsoil that took millennia to form is being washed away. Meanwhile, farmers who use massive amounts of pesticides and herbicides on our food so that we can have cheap and unblemished produce. And we wash our cars with drinking water. It's enough to make a person weep. Now I ask you, what do you know from your life experience that has changed in your lifetime? What specific example of changes in natural life have you noticed? This noticing affected you? When people feel such deep grief that it threatens to overwhelm everything else in their lives, we naturally want to escape it, to make it subside, diminish its influence. We will go to great lengths to reduce this pain. We will increase our activity level, cover up with cheerfulness, or go shopping, drink, volunteer, help someone else, basically anything we can do to change subject. It's called denial. It's a coping skill, and we all know how to do it. It's not always useful. When we deny or override our grief, are we not cutting ourselves off from our hearts? It is from our hearts that we can act. This is where our passion is. It's from our hearts that we act. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change reports did not surprise many of us. They may not even have changed significantly our environmental consciousness, except perhaps to sharpen the focus a little bit, make it a little harder to push away that truth from the front of our minds. That truth of the environmental degradation makes me feel sad at the loss of natural beauty, a loss that is evident all around. The land, the skies, trees and mountains, the birds, the open air. This is, for many of us, where we find spiritual sustenance, where we find God. What will become of us when we can no longer find solace in natural surroundings? I am sad that it is so difficult for most of us to put the saving of the planet before our own comfort and convenience, for it is difficult. There is much that conspires against living sustainably. I am angry at our elected leaders, local and global, who are so fearful of making a mistake that they won't help with constructive change. And the rest of us who are too fearful or preoccupied or lazy to vote them out and vote some doers in. I am sad and angry that as stockholders we don't hold companies to task because we're more interested in the money. What good is money if the planet is dying? I am frustrated and angry to feel so impotent. I'm afraid my little effort is actually such a tiny drop in the bucket that it will evaporate before it hits the bottom. We are wandering in the wilderness, lost and afraid, not knowing what to do. Let us sit with this feeling of lost. There is good news, though. We in this room are not the only ones who care. We are not alone, not by a long shot. Author Paul Hawken wrote a book called Blessed Unrest, How the Largest Movement in the World Came into Being and Why No One Saw It Coming. Hawken studied the sociology of groups working for environmental and social justice and indigenous rights. The more he talked to people, the more organizations he became aware of. Small coalitions, international groups like Oxfam, very localized groups, a huge variety. He estimates that there are between 1 and 2 million groups and organizations engaged worldwide in progressive causes. This is a huge movement. We can choose to be part of that huge movement, and that gives us hope. To quote him, if you look at the science that describes what is happening on Earth today and aren't pessimistic, you don't have the correct data. If you meet the people in this unnamed movement and aren't optimistic, you haven't got a heart. There are lots of people who want to make change. We have to find each other. We have to make humming noises like the whales who identify their home pod by the song they sing. We have to sing our song. It's a song that fits our UU values. It's about embracing complexity and grief and loss and celebration and beauty. It's also a song about fairness. Those who are affected first and hardest by environmental problems are the poor, the disenfranchised, and the sick people of the world. Our UU principles include the affirmation of the inherent worth and dignity of every person and the search for justice. It's about the interdependence of the web of life, the reality that everything we do and everything we are is connected to everything else. The earth is our mother, and we are all her family, related. Animals, plants, rocks, air, water, soil. There is no such thing as isolation. The air we pollute here hangs in a brown cloud over the heads of 1 billion people in the Indian subcontinent. The radiation that leaks in Russia travels on the wind to other parts of Europe. Our choice is not whether to join that huge movement of healing, but how? Political activism, personal lifestyle, community changes, these are all parts of the same work. They all count. Many people struggle with the insignificance of their own personal efforts. Listen to this exchange between two Unitarian Universalist activists for change. Forrest says, "I am perpetually torn between doing everything everywhere, the impractical included, and the reality of my community at large." To illustrate, my father-in-law died all of a sudden while my wife and I were on holidays in Ontario visiting our first grandchild. So we flew to Edmonton. My wife's brother and wife flew in from England, and others flew in as well. A significant carbon footprint. My father-in-law had pre-arranged his funeral to include embalming, an open casket, stretch limo for the family, oak casket. You get the picture. So in the background of all the grief is a personal conflict of values. We flew our grandson, son, and breastfeeding daughter-in-law out as well, so the grandmother could meet her one and only grandson. The picture of her holding her grandchild for the first time was a joy to behold. What is a person to do? Not easy. Takes courage. A revolution. So we are not going to do the climate change challenge alone. It must happen in community. Carl says, "Experiences like you describe help me make small changes. The big changes, like not driving alone, foregoing meat, elude me. I am more convinced than ever that individual voluntary efforts are largely symbolic. I guess that's important, but I don't beat myself up because I don't like the church. It's uphill. There are some who do like the church. That's wonderful. But it teaches me not to judge others that I might be judged too. We are all in different places on different paths." Carl also said that to do the work he does in organizing people for justice, such as a recent rally against the Pacific Gateway Project in BC, he turns to his spiritual teachers and centers himself in what he knows to be his calling. This allows him to do what he must do, whether or not others around him join in. But you know, often they do join him. People need spirit community. People need spirituality, and they need to acknowledge that we are all in different places on different paths, just like Old Turtle says. None of us can be God, but we can be co-creators with God, especially if God is the shorthand word for that force for good, that collective positive energy that happens and can move mountains when people work together with a goal and with a spirit of community and with love. There's a multiplier effect when individuals join with other individuals, when groups join with other groups. A grassroots revolution could turn the world around. Together, the possibilities are big. In a few minutes, you will be invited to share your good news stories, coalitions, groups, actions you know that are making a difference, however large or small. It is important that we hear from one another, that we share our faith in the possibility of positive change. We are called to remember that we are part of each other, part of the earth, part of the interdependent web of all existence. To the extent that we forget that, we are imprisoned. As we widen our circle of compassion, we are freed. Let us join together in grief, in joy, and in action. So I want to hear something about the signs of hope that you see.